So let's start with the following. So Rosh Hashanah is a bit interesting as a chag, because as the Torah presents it, so what are the three central chagim in Chumash?
The Shalosh Regalim.
Right, those are the times when we have an obligation to go to the Mikdash. That's when we actually have the Karbanot, from which Chag gets its name. Right, the reason that holidays are called Chagim in Tanakh is because you bring a Karban Chagiga, right, which is a very specific Karban, right, which is the holiday Karban. I mean, those are the main three holidays, but there is another term for these special days in Tanakh, which is more inclusive than the Chagim, and that is
Moedim.
Right, the Moedim. And where in Chumash do we find the discussion of the Chagim? There are two main places.
Emor,
good, right? The beginning of Revi'i in Emor, and on, yeah, and?
Pinchas.
And Pinchas, right? So, and you probably, right, the Kriot that we have on the Chagim are from, in general, these two sections. There are localized ones that we have as well, but the main discussions of the Chagim are here. Now, the Moedim include things that you wouldn't necessarily think of as a Chag, including how do we start the Moedim section in Chumash? Let's see if you guys remember. Right, what's the first of the Moedim that the Torah lists?
In
Emor, yeah. You got cut off for a second. What did you say, Gavi?
Shabbos.
Right. Meaning it's not just the Shalosh Regalim, but if you look at the beginning of Vayikra Chav Gimel, I'll pull it up for a second. Right, but you get Vayidaber Adonai El Moshe Lemor, Daber Al Bnei Yisrael Vamarta Lehem Moadei Adonai Asher Tikru Otam Mikrai Kodesh Elehem Moadai. These speak to the Jews. These are the holidays, the appointed times of God, and the first one that we get is Sheshet Yamim Te'aseh Melacha V'Yom HaShvi'i Shabbat Shabbaton Mikra Kodesh Kol Melacha Lo Ta'asu Shabbat Hi La'Adonai B'Chol Moshvoteichem. Before you ask me, I will do this always, and it's Beshita. If I'm reading an entire Pasuk, I will always use Shem HaShem, which is, as you know, the proper way to do it. I will not say Hashem. If I'm quoting half a pasuk, then I will. But if I'm reading a whole pasuk, then I will always read it b'shem Hashem. Now, in this broader context, so obviously, besides the Shalosh Regalim and Shabbat, we have Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Now, what mitzvah is common to all of the Shalosh Regalim? It is presented in Chumash primarily by Sukkot, but Chazal extended to all of the Chagim, and it's true both in the time of the Beit HaMikdash and now. What is the most basic of the Chiyuvim on all of the Chagim? Right, V'samachta b'chagecha is the mitzvah of Simchat HaRegel. Now, what exactly does Simchat HaRegel entail? Right, how do you rejoice? What is the formal manifestation of this obligation? Say it again, Ezra.
Basar V'yayin.
Good. So when was Basar V'yayin true, according to the Gemara? Very good. Right, so the Gemara in Psachim Daf Kuftet tells us that that Omer of Yehuda bizman shebeit hamikdash kayam in simcha ella bibasar, in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, so then the main simcha was with meat, because the primary meat that we're talking about is the meat of the karban. But achshav she'ein Beit HaMikdash kayam in simcha ella biyayin. Now that there's no Beit HaMikdash, so the main simcha is manifest through wine, because wine hasn't changed between now and the Beit HaMikdash. The yayin mesamach levav enosh, and wine can make you happy. That's the very formal obligation. The Rambam seems to not paskin in accordance with this Gemara, and seems to think that basar and yayin is still the central formulation of this obligation nowadays. Many of the Achorim disagree. There are other ways, and maybe we'll get back to this question of the connection between the emotional obligation to be happy and the outward manifestations of that obligation, because those may be distinct, which seems evident as the Gemara continues there, that for men the obligation is basar v'yayin, but then goes on, how do you fulfill the obligation for women, how do you fulfill it for children, and there does seem to be a subjective element there as well. But one of the key questions that the Gaonim asked and the Rishonim asked was, how does this mitzvah of Simcha relate to Rosh Hashanah and to a lesser extent Yom Kippur, considering the fact on the one hand they are Moadim, right? On the one hand they appear in the Parsha of the rest of the Moadim, which implies a certain conceptual connection. But on the other hand, they are neither a chag, right? There is not a korban chagiga. Plus, conceptually speaking, Rosh Hashanah is not exactly a happy time in the way that the chagim are. Now, the main Gemara that discusses it is really an Agadic passage. And it's on Rosh Hashanah daf lamid bet amud bet. So if you have a Gemara and you want to open it up, you can. Otherwise, I'll pull it up on the screen. And what I want to do is very carefully read this Gemara and try to trace its assumptions. Okay, sorry. I missed you for a second. Say it again. Someone's in mute.
Someone else is talking, so we muted it.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay. So I'll pull up the Gemara for anyone who doesn't have a Gemara. 1 second. Okay. I'll share the screen. And like I said, this is a short passage. I want to read it carefully with you. Okay? So, starting at Amru Malachei Asharet. Okay? Someone want to read it? Like I said, it's an Agadic passage, but it's the best we got to start with in the Gemara. Okay, I can read it. I'll break the ice here. That's fine. Okay, so the Gemara says as follows. Amru Malachei Asharet Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The ministering angel said to God, Ribono shel olam, mipnei ma ein Yisrael omrim shira lefanecha b'Rosh Hashanah v'yom HaKippurim. Why don't the Jews say shira, meaning Hallel, on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? So Amar lahem, efshar melech yoshev al kisei din, v'sifrei chayim v'sifrei meitim p'tuchin lefanav Yisrael omrim shira. So God says rhetorically to them, well, why should they say Hallel? On Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the books of life and death are opened. It's a scary time. It's an awe-inspired time. So how are they going to sing? How are they going to sing song? How are they going to sing Hallel? Okay, it's a very short passage here. But I want to pick it apart and see if we can get insights into the question of the extent to which Rosh Hashanah shares this identity with the other Chagim in terms of Simcha based on this passage. So, let's start here with before I bias you. If you read this passage, what would you do? What clues would you get from this passage as to whether there is or is not a mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah and to a lesser extent Yom Kippur? What clues do we have in the Gemara? What do we have to do? How do we have to approach this passage to try to pick apart the answer to this question?
Well, I would say that there is a mitzvah of...
Probably, by the way, I was just... Gavi, 1 second. You should probably just yell out, because You should probably just yell out, raising your hand. I don't know if it's going to work so well on Zoom. So Gavi, go, and then I saw you, so you can continue afterwards, okay? Yeah, go, Gavi. Sorry.
I would say there is a mitzvah that gets overwhelmed by the yira.
Okay, so let's go even further here. What makes you think there is a mitzvah of simcha?
Because that is what brings up the question.
Very good. So definitely, very good. 100%. Very good. So 100%. Gavi is correct. That the first stage in the Gemara, the assumption behind the Malachim's, right, this personified angelic petition to God, which is, God, why are they not saying Hallel on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur just like they would on Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, etc., assumes a certain level of a mitzvah of simcha. 100%. Okay. But now, what happens in the maskana? And this is something you always got to figure out in the Gemara, is that's clearly the assumption in the Hava Amina, right? That's the assumption in the first stage of the Gemara. But God rejects the challenge of the angels that there should be Hallel and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and you got to figure out why is he, so to speak, rejecting it. Meaning, now again, in most Gemaras it won't actually be a personified conversation between the Hava Amina and the Maskana, which is the Malachim against God. That's because of the agadic framing of this passage. But in general, methodologically, you always need to do this, right? Wait, what was the assumption in the Hava Amina? What was rejected in the Maskana? Now, Gavi took an assumption. Gavi said, I'll repeat what he said, but then I want to pick apart what Gavi said. Gavi said that in the Maskana, God says that the awe of the days overwhelms the mitzvah, the reality of simcha. So Gavi, in your maskana and how you read God's response, is there or is there not a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur?
It is a mitzvah of simcha.
Okay, right? Gavi reads the Hava Amina maskana here, not as a total rejection, but as a qualification. The Hava Amina assumes that there is joy, there's a mitzvah of simcha, and that simcha should entail saying Hallel. And Gavi assumes that the maskana is, there is a mitzvah of simcha, right? It's not rejecting the Hava Amina, it's in entirety. It's only rejecting half of the Hava Amina. There were two assumptions in the Hava Amina. One is that there is a mitzvah of simcha, and the second is that simcha necessarily entails a mitzvah of Hallel. Gavi reads the Maskana as a rejection of only half of that assumption, which is, yes, there is a mitzvah of simcha, but no, simcha doesn't always entail Hallel, and in this particular case, the reason that there is no Hallel is because Rosh Hashanah is a complex day. It has both a reality of simcha, but it also has this element of yiras, of awe, of fear, of trembling, which exists at the same time. And if I had to reframe it, so according to the Hava Amina, what is the mechayev of, right, what obligates you to say Hallel? A reality of, a mitzvah of joy. What is the maskana, according to the Gavi reads it? What obligates you in saying Hallel? Only what? Like, unadulterated joy, right? Meaning, it's not the existence of a mitzvah of simcha, a mitzvah to rejoice that creates Hallel, because it can be overridden. It's only an unadulterated simcha. But Rosh Hashanah has simcha, but it's, right, it's mixed in with fear, and therefore, yes, there is simcha, but no, there is not simcha that leads to Hallel. Right? That's how Gavi reads the Gemara. Now, according to that, again, methodologically, the maskana, or in this case, God's response, is only a partial rejection of the Hava Amina, meaning it keeps one assumption and rejects the other, and in the process teaches us something about Hallel, which is that in the Hava Amina, the existence of a mitzvah to rejoice is sufficient to warrant the saying of Hallel. The maskana is that's not true. Only a certain type of simcha, an unadulterated simcha, but not one which is qualified by the fear of having the books of life and death open before you. So according to Gavi, the maskana is, there is a mitzvah of simcha. Okay. How else could you read it? And Adam, you can say what you wanted to say before. I didn't forget about you. How else could you read it? Or you can say what you wanted and someone else can answer. How else could you read this Gemara? Go ahead.
Rabbi, real quick, what daf are we on in Rosh Hashanah?
Lamed Bet, Amed Bet, 32B. Yeah, I'll pull it back on the screen, even though it's easier for me to see everyone when the screen's not on, but I'll pull it back up, okay?
Wow, yeah, I just
got
to get
that. Here you go. Okay, right here. It's very short. Again, we'll read it one more time, right? You have here, it's very, sometimes it's hard to figure out exactly Hava Mina Maskana. Here, the Hava Mina and Maskana are personified by the angels and God. So it's pretty easy to follow that, right? So the angels say, Amru Malachei Sharet Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? The angels say to God, Ribono Shel Olam Mipnei Ma Ein Yisrael Omrim Shira Lefanecha B'Rosh Hashanah V'Yom HaKippurim. Why don't the Jews say a song before you on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Answer, God says, Amar Lehem Efshar Melech Yoshev HaKisei Din V'Sifrei Chaim V'Sifrei Meitim P'tuchin Lefanav Yisrael Omrim Shira. How could they sing song if the books of life and death are opened? The way Gavi reads this Gemara is that the angels say Rosh Hashanah has a mitzvah of joy, and therefore, if there's a mitzvah of joy, automatically you say Hallel. Response is, that's not true. Right? The response is, it is a day... Okay, Ezra, you want to say hello? Here, 1 second. We have a guest who bombed in for a second. Say hello. Hi, this is Ezra, my third... Okay, bye Ezra. Okay, so the way Gavi reads the Gemara is that the angels think there is a mitzvah of Simcha Rosh Hashanah, and that's enough to warrant the saying of Hallel. And as Gavi reads it, God only half rejects their assumption, right? So, yeah, I can put it in the chat, right? We can do it this way, right? Right, stage one, which is the angels... Right? So, assumption one. One is, there is an obligation of simcha / joy on Rosh Hashanah. Assumption two is, simcha necessarily implies Hallel. Okay? Now, stage two, which in this case is God, right? So we have to reject one of the two assumptions, right? Sorry. So according to Gavi, assumption one is accepted, right? And assumption two is rejected, right? So meaning there is a mitzvah of simcha, but... Simcha, right, does not imply Hallel. And then if we wanted to ask the other conceptual question, which is not about Rosh Hashanah, but about Hallel, so then stage one, according to Gavi, says that any joy implies Hallel, right? Stage two is, I don't know, only pure joy, right? Not joy tempered by fear. Okay? Right, that's basically the conceptual analysis as Gavi presents the Gemara. Okay. How else could you read the Gemara? Right, and with this methodologically, there should be an obvious other choice. Yeah, Ezra, go.
You would say that what God is saying is that there, it's not just that there you have happiness with the presence of fear, it's that the fear gets rid of the happiness.
Exactly, right? So according to Ezra, right, the rejection is of, right, assumption one, right? Meaning, Rosh Hashanah has no mitzvah of simcha, and it's a total rejection, conceptually, of the nature of Rosh Hashanah. But, ironically, what is it not a rejection of? In this case, right, it leaves intact which conceptual assumption?
that simcha, any simcha, gives you hallel.
Exactly, right? Okay. Meaning in this case, you either have to qualify your assumption of hallel, or you have to qualify your assumptions about simcha. Those are your two choices. Gavi assumes that the qualification is about hallel, but Rosh Hashanah, in fact, remains with the mitzvah of simcha. It's just tempered joy. Ezra says, no, maybe what God is saying, there's a complete rejection of the mitzvah of Simcha and Rosh Hashanah, and therefore what changed between the Havamina and the Maskana is the nature of Rosh Hashanah, but what remains is our assumption about Hallel. Namely, that the mitzvah of Simcha automatically implies a mitzvah of Hallel. Right? That seems to be, and again, like I said, this Gemara, even though it's agadic, is very nicely structured to see the basic tools that you need when you're analyzing conceptually any passage of Gemara, right? Is that there are multiple assumptions, and as you reject it, either in the Maskana or in a question-answer, whatever the case may be, at least one assumption has to be rejected in order for, right, the Maskana to be different than the Havamina, or the answer to be different than the question. But it can be either one, right? You can always choose which assumption, and often the Mefarshim, right, often different commentaries, their machlokot, their dispute about how to understand the sugya is going to hang on which assumption they think was being rejected. Okay, Adam, you had a question before, so what did you...
basically covered everything I was going to ask about.
Okay, yeah, go.
Can't you also have a third reading where, because it specifies the Book of Life and Death, that it's not something about Hallel or Rosh Hashanah specifically, it's actually about having the books of life and death out that cancels Hallel, not for a specific Hallel reason.
Good, so you could have, right, and this is, I think, a modification, right, I don't know if it's a third read, but it's a second and a half read, right, which is, yes, right, sometimes, right, so the way I laid it out here is that both interpretations are assuming an internal assumption about both Rosh Hashanah and Hallel. But you're right. Right? Sometimes the answer will be that no. Generally, you're right. Meaning, there is a mitzvah of Simcha, and normally Simcha leads to Hallel, but, right, read, we'll call this read 2b, right, is that, right, there is... one second... right, there is Simcha on Rosh Hashanah, Hallel, right, Simcha should lead to Hallel, but this is a modification, which is to say, unless, right, there is an override, right? Right, in this case, it's not saying that there isn't Simcha on Rosh Hashanah, it's not saying that Simcha shouldn't lead to Hallel, it's saying that this is a rule breaker. Now again, it's a modification, because it's really saying that the joy isn't pure, or Simcha doesn't necessarily lead to Hallel. So it is a modification, but you're right. You could formulate it slightly differently, and not say that Simcha doesn't lead to Hallel, saying it does, but this is an override clause, which is, right, really out of left field, which, again, it's not from the... I think it's a related read to... well, we could read it into either one, right? We could say that it has Simcha, but it is pure Simcha, but there's also fear, which sort of exists at the same time, or Simcha normally leads to Hallel unless there's a real overriding fear factor. Yeah, Ezra.
So if we're saying that, like, either the fear of, like, life and death, like, tempers the happiness, or, like, eliminates the need for Simcha, the requirement for Simcha, why would that not apply to the other Shalosh Regalim when we're getting judged for, like, rain and stuff like that?
Good. So let's take this methodologically, right? So Ezra's asking the right type of question, which is, okay, well, wait a second. We've now have laid out certain assumptions. But now we've got to ask, okay, so... whenever we've laid out these types of reads, what you need to do is you need to test them, right? You need to test them. Now, there are different ways of testing them, right? One is to look for a nafkamina, right? A local nafkamina. The other is to test them by comparing them to conceptually similar categories. So Ezra asked the right type of question, which is, well, wait a second. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, well, really, the Mishnayot in Rosh Hashanah, and you'll see that anyone who's doing Rosh Hashanah, you'll see this very quickly, believes that there isn't only one judgment day. There are multiple judgment days, right? So what are the other judgment days, for example? Sukkot is a good example. What is it, the judgment day, according to Chazal?
Water.
Right, water, rain. And maybe we'll talk about this a little bit later in the year. Rain is the way rain interacts with in Israel with Hashgacha is very different, and that's important here. But rain. So you'll ask me, okay, but wait a second. Sukkot is also a judgment day. So if Sukkot is also a judgment day, shouldn't whatever interpretation we have locally in Rosh Hashanah, right, whether the existence of a judgment day qualifies the Simcha or qualifies at least the need for Hallel or whatever the case may be, shouldn't that affect Sukkot? Rami, you're raising your hand. Are you muted or I just can't hear you? No, okay, go. No, I still don't hear you. Okay, yeah, chat it. Why didn't you just try chatting it? I don't know why I can't hear you, but try chatting it. Now, anyone want to wager a guess here at what the answer might be? There are obviously different possibilities, but let's be careful here, okay? Because Ezra made an assumption, which is that whatever it is that creates the fear is the existence of a judgment day. But let's be very careful. Is that what the Gemara says?
No.
What does it say?
Open the books of life and death.
Right. So it could be that it's not the existence of a judgment day. It's a very specific type of judgment that creates that fear. Yes, on Sukkot we have a judgment for rain, but apparently that's not enough. In fact, Sukkot is the paradigmatic simcha because it's the one where the Torah actually says it. But you're going to have to say that, right? Which is, you might have thought that whatever qualification here is created by judgment, but the fact that it doesn't apply to Sukkot will teach you, no, it's not judgment, it's rain. And that's what Rami said. Very good. So Rami got it in. And I think Rami's right. You're going to have to derive from here that whatever the qualification is, it's not judgment. It's a particular kind of judgment. It's fear of death. Right? It's the Sifrei Chaim, the Sifrei Metim Ptuchim Lefanecha. Okay. Now, because we don't have so much time, so we're going to continue this tomorrow, but I'm enjoying picking apart a very small agadata and pulling out the lumdus. We'll see that this question is in fact going to be a machlokes gaonim and rishonim, okay? So tomorrow I'll give you one rush, okay? I'll give you one rush. For those of you who have the Gemara, the rush is in the back. And if you are finished with the rush, you can look at the Mordechai. And if you need more makar, you can ask me. But this machloket is discussed in the rush in Simen Yudalad and in the Mordechai Simen Taf Shin Chet. Both of them are at the back of the Gemara. I can send it out as well for those of you who don't have it. The rush, for sure, you should be able to find online. The Mordechai might be a little bit harder. One of the things you'll also know, you'll come to learn, is that I care very much about the biographies of Rishonim. So maybe I'll take a moment now before you see them. Gavi, Rush and Mordechai, common denominator, please tell me. Gavi's frozen, at least on my screen. Yeah, I won't put him on the spot for now. Okay, Rush and Mordechai, where are they from? Good, Ezra, where are they from?
Oh, that wasn't really my
name. Oh, okay, you put yourself in the hot seat. Rush and Mordechai are both Balei HaTosfot, late Balei HaTosfot, from what country?
Germany.
Germany, very good. Very good. The Rush is, his full name is Asher Ben Yaakov. And the Mordechai is Mordechai Ben Hillel. The Rush, they are both students of the same major German Balei HaTosfot. Who is?
Robert Berg.
Very good. Who said that? Ah, very good, Yuri. Why is the Maharami Rittenberg close to my heart? Let's see if you remember this one.
I don't know exactly, but I know that you mentioned him a lot.
So. Yeah, I know, because he's my wife's favorite Rishon, and also the namesake of my oldest son, Meir. Meir of Rutenberg, who has three main Talmidim, the Rush, Rabbeinu Asher, the Mordechai, and the author of the Hagot Maimoniot, Rabbeinu Baruch. And what's common to all three of the students of the Maharami Rittenberg is that they are Ashkenazim, but they write their commentaries attached to Sfardi Poskim. So the Rush and the Mordechai are both written al Seder Harif, right? Rivis Kol Gofasi, and the Hagot Maimoni is written al Seder Harambam. And that's the common denominator of the three Talmidim of the Maharami Rittenberg, which makes sense because the Maharami Rittenberg and his students are the last generation of German Balei HaTosot before they all... Germany becomes terrible and they leave, right? So as they're leaving, they integrate a bit into Sephardi culture, and the Rush moves specifically to Spain, right? And his son already functions much more like a Sephardi Rishon. His son is very famous. His son is Rabbi Yaakov Bal Haturim, right? He wrote the Tur before Chelkei, what the Shulchan Aruch is based on. Okay, good. So we'll see them tomorrow. But let's see how well any of you know Tanakh. Before we've laid out the conceptual possibilities. But before we answer the question, there is a little data point that is quite important for our discussion, which needs to be brought into discussion to figure it out. And that is that there is one place in Tanakh where Rosh Hashanah is mentioned, a nice little story about Rosh Hashanah. And in that story, there does seem to be some clues as to whether it is a joyous day. And what book might I find the discussion of Rosh Hashanah in? Did someone say it and I missed it? Okay. So, take guesses. I will not... hold it against you. Emor is a good suggestion, but we said Emor. Emor doesn't tell us the answer. Pinchas doesn't tell us the answer. In fact, the next piece of data is not from Chumash. It's not from Navi. It's from Ketuvim. So now I've narrowed it down. Where is it? Not Eov, I wish. But no. I don't wish, actually. It's a very sad book. Yeah. It is a very, very late book. It's a very late book. Takes place in the second Beit HaMikdash. Or just about. Now we've narrowed it even further. Close, but later than Daniel. Daniel takes place between the first and the second Beit HaMikdash. This takes place during Shivat Zion, when we return to Eretz Yisrael.
Ezra.
Good. Formally, you are correct. In Tanakh, it is Ezra. In your modern Tanakh, it'll probably be in what's called Nehemiah. But Ezra and Nehemiah are technically the same book. But yes, it is in Nehemiah. In Nehemiah, Perek Chet. So I'll pull it up for you for a minute. And then I think this is what we'll have time for. But this is the last data point that you're going to need. And then to read the Rush tomorrow. Okay, so let me pull it up on the screen. So Nehemiah. So... if you know anything about Ezra and Nehemiah, Ezra is the religious leader appointed by Cyrus, right? By Darius. Ezra is the religious leader. Nehemiah is much more of a political leader. Now, in the eighth parak of Nehemiah, you get the following story. Vayasvu chol ha'am ki ish echad el arachov asher lifnei shar ha'mayim. Vayomru le'ezra sofer lehavi et sefer Torat Moshe asher tziva Adonai et Yisrael. So, the whole people... So, one of the things that Ezra does is Ezra brings about a lot of... a mass tshuva. And so, the people ask Ezra the sofer to bring the Torah. And he brings it on a very important day. Vayavi Ezra haKohen et haTorah lifnei haKahal meish v'ad isha v'chol mevin lishmo b'yom echad lachodesh haShivi'i. On the first day of the seventh month. Now, what is the first day of the seventh month? Very good, right? The seventh month, counting from Nisan, is Tishrei, and therefore this is the first day of the seventh month is Rosh Hashanah. So he calls everybody together, Vayikra vo livnei rechov asher livnei shar hamayim min ha'or ad machatid hayom neged ha'anashim v'anashim v'mivinim v'aznei chol amel sefer ha'torah. He reads from it, facing the square before the water gate, right? There's the shar hamayim, from the first light until midday, right? So from sunrise until chatzot, to the men, to the women, anyone who could understand the Torah. Vayamod Ezra Sofer al Migdal Eitz Asher Asula Davar Vayamod Ezra Lo Matatya Vishema Vanaya Vuria Vichilkia Umasiya Al Yemino Mismelo Pidayam Misheo Malkia Vichashum Vichashbadana Zechariah Mishulam. He has all these very important people on the right hand and on his left hand. And not surprisingly, it's Rosh Hashanah, it's Tshuva season. Vayiftach Ezra Sefer Leinei Chol Am Ki Maal Kol Am Me'al kol ha'am haya, uchvitcho amdu kol ha'am. He opens it, and the people stand up, and he gives them brachot. And if you skip down the pasuk tet, vayomer Nechemya hu atar shata, ve'ezra kohen ha'sofer ve'alvim ha'minim et ha'am l'chol ha'am, hayom kodeshu l'adonai Eloheichem, al tidablu ve'al tivku, kivochim kol ha'am, kishamam et divrei Adonai. So the reading of the Torah had brought about tshuva. So people were crying in tshuva. Right? So here's the fear moment of Rosh Hashanah. They're crying, they're doing tshuva. And as they're crying, what does Nehemiah tell them? Stop crying. Why? Vayomer lehem, lichu ichlu mashmanim ushtu mamtakim vishilchu manot le'nachon lo ki kadosh hayom l'adoneinu va'al te'atzvu ki chedvat Adonai hi ma'uzchem. Go eat good food, drink sweet drinks, send presents to people who don't have food, for today is holy to God. Don't be sad, for your rejoicing in God is the source of your strength. So here we actually have in Nehemiah a nice little discussion where the people are crying in tshuva because, hey, they just learned what the Torah wants them to do. And they're all sad. And Nehemiah gives them mussar and says, stop being so sad. It's a holiday. Go eat, go drink, enjoy, party, send food to other people because it's a day to rejoice in God. If you just stopped in Nehemiah, so again, and this might be where the Agadata is getting it from. The people's reaction to tshuva on Rosh Hashanah is to cry, to be sad. What's Nehemiah's response? Be happy, right? Be happy. Now, this is a bit complicated, right? If you left Nehemiah, now what would you say? Is there or is there not a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah?
There is.
Well, you would say there is. But again, you're going to have to ask the same thing in Nehemiah that we did in the Gemara, which is, okay, there's a mitzvah of simcha. But what is Nehemiah telling them? Is he telling them it's unmitigated joy? Is he telling them it's qualified joy? Right? Is this formal simcha? Or is it something else? We don't know. We know that this piece of evidence needs to make it into our discussion somehow, because here you have a tension between people who celebrate Rosh Hashanah by crying and those who say, no, have a little party. But we got to figure out what that tells us about the nature of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, you have a meeting in 60 seconds. So, tomorrow, and Rami is right, we have to ask whether what Nehemiah is telling them is about Rosh Hashanah in general, or this Rosh Hashanah, and maybe that'll be part of the answer to the question. Perfect. So tomorrow, try the Rosh in Siman Yudalit in the relevant Perek, meaning Lamed Bet. I think that's the fourth Perek already, but I have to check. Look at the Mordechai if you have time. I will send you a few lines in the Gemara and Beitza. That is relevant, and if you want to answer Rami's question, you can also look around a little bit more in depth, both in the Pesukim Nehemiah and some of the Mefarshim there, and look at the Pesukim in Emor and see if you can get some clues, and tomorrow we will try to close up the nature of Rosh Hashanah, Simcha, modified Simcha, what we learn about Hallel, and all those things, integrating it both into the Gemara, into the Rishonim, and the Pesukim. You have to go to the next meeting, so I can't keep you. But like I said, if I'm overwhelming you with the sources, tell me. Today I tried to keep it very, very limited to just a few lines and do close reads. We'll continue with that tomorrow. Okay. Shkoyach, guys. If you need anything, let me know. I'll try to set up a WhatsApp group for this year, and I'll send out the, you know, I'll remind you of the Makarot. And send out the actual text to make it easier. But like I said, looking in a Gemara is probably better. It is more pleasant. Okay, go to the Imakar meeting, and I will talk to you guys later.
Thank you, Rabbi Zeri.